It's coming. How many of y'all glad to know there will be a day, there's a place? I can't imagine it. I just can't, you know, Bob, I just can't get it yet. Can y'all imagine a day without suffering? It's coming. I can't imagine it yet. Can you imagine a day where, can you imagine driving down Scotts Road and nobody gets ticked off? See what I'm saying? These things are unimaginable. These kind of moments are unimaginable. But you know what? That's coming. And I want you to know it's coming. Pray with me. We're going to talk a very simple message today, but one I hope you will grip, receive, and release. Okay? So you got to grip it. You got to receive it. And then you got to do what? You got to release it into the world. Well, here we go. Lord Jesus, help us stand when things are tough. Help us hold on when things look impossible. Help us know that you're going to be God and you will be God no matter what anybody else says. Amen? We're going to hit it just like that. It's good to see y'all today. Y'all having a good day? How many of y'all having a good day today? How many of y'all showed up to worship the Lord? Or did y'all just say, it's Sunday and I live in Kentucky, so I better go to church? I don't want you to be in church to be in church. I want you to be in church because God has a great message for you to receive. Well, we're at the end of the trilogy here in Acts. So go once again back to Acts chapter 5. I promise we leave it today. We leave it today, and Jamie will take over next Sunday at Acts chapter 6, okay? We're going to talk about Stephen. So after we talk about standing up for the Lord, talk about living in the power of God, then Acts is going to show us an example of a living human being who had a personal name, who actually lived out the principles that these apostles did, okay? Now, I do not think it's coincidental that we're talking about standing up at this particular moment of time in history. Now listen, I'm not going where Elizabeth, I promise you, I'm staying right between the lines on this, okay? I'm staying between the lines. Elizabeth has already given me the left eyeball. And sometimes I get to hold, Jim, this may happen to you when you preach. I have the Holy Spirit in my wife's left eye. Help me. Amen. Both of them. And here's the deal. I have heard some words this week. I've heard this word, and it's going to be opposite of the word I'm going to tell you. Compromise. Y'all heard that week? That weak word. That's a weak word. I just want to let you all know that compromising God's principles is what's got us in these messes. Now, if you come to Hillview, we don't mix things around here. We don't put sugary stuff and strong stuff, okay? We straight people here. So you're going to hear it straight. You're going to hear the truth. When you compromise God's principles, you always invite hell into the situation. Dr. Earl, you've lived more than 4 decades. That's the truth, correct? Probably 4 plus another 4. Isn't that correct? We're getting close. And look at here. Dr. Earl, haven't you found through your life? I mean, we're talking about you have come all the way from flying planes in World War II. And have lived long enough to see people able to fly planes on a computer. That's quite a lot of change in one lifetime. You've gone from the horse and buggy to a red Cadillac. What do you think about that? That's a lot of change. Makes sense? In one lifetime. But God's principles, they never change. Now here's what I'm proposing to you. We got to stand. And we got to learn how to stand like these apostles. Now, here's what you and I don't like. For some reason, we have been conditioned that all tension is bad, all conflict is bad, and all things that cause us to be uncomfortable are bad. That's not true. How many of y'all glad to have tension when you're getting ready to do something that's not good for you? Here, let me break it down real simple. How many of y'all are glad you have nerves on the end of your fingers so that you won't set them on the barbecue grill and leave them there as you're barbecuing hot dogs? Anybody excited about that? You know, there is a thing called pain. Now look, some of y'all look at me going, well, are you saying that I should have some uncomfortable moments? Let me help you with this. Yes. It's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. But we live in Comfort City, USA. And guess what? We have convinced ourselves if we're not comfortable, it's not correct. And Ken, that's totally opposite of the Bible. The Bible says, I'll suffer for a little while. There's a day coming when what? There'll be no suffering. There'll be no pain. There'll be no limping. There'll be no glasses. There'll be no contacts. There'll be no need for laser surgery. Everything will work. Your knees will not ache. You can eat chocolate cake and never gain a pound. That's going to be one of the cool. Isn't that neat? How many of y'all are going to eat a lot of desserts and have a six pack at the same time? You know, great days. Now, hold on. Some of y'all going, well, I'm not going to believe in Jesus. You ain't going to be eating no dessert. They don't serve dessert in hell. Spinach. Non-stop spinach in hell. You know all that health food that y'all eat to live longer? That's what they serve in hell. Everything that tastes like cardboard and has no flavor in it. Kind of like hospital food. Y'all ever been to the hospital? If you're not sick, eat a meal. Yeah, I'm like, gosh. Hospital food, one time, I have to confess, since I was at the hospital, I had to go in the hospital. Have y'all ever seen that Jell-O they give you at the hospital? It's industrial strength. The reason I know, I got bored and I threw mine up against the wall and it bounced back like a Super Bowl. No wonder I felt bad. I ate that. It was crazy the things we do. Standing on God's principles will always lead, check this out, to God's activity. Somebody get that? Did somebody get that? Standing in God's principles will always lead to God's activity. Standing. Now, this is a simple sermon today. Stand, continue standing, and guess what will happen? Somebody else will stand with you. Stand. Now, you say, well, why did you say continue to stand? Because here's what a lot of y'all do. You stand, and somebody writes something bad about you on Facebook, and you stand off. Or you stand up for Jesus, and they go, well, that's illegal, and you step right back up. Or you stand, and they call you and say, well, you know, the family down the road was offended that y'all prayed out there in New York. And I go, you know what? I wish somebody told me that, because I said, if you think that's offensive, wait till next week what I'm going to do. It just amazes me. It bewilders me. Are y'all offended when somebody's got a shirt on that has some obscenity across it? I don't crazy about it. Just stand up for Jesus. Now, once again, I'm going to put the warning on this sermon. God is not calling believers to be obnoxious. Just faithful. You know, Adam, I don't picture the apostles running around with a big sign in the temple courts going, Jesus' teachings, get them for 1995 here in the temple court today. I don't see that. They're just going about teaching. Now, remember, they got arrested for talking about who? Come on, follow me today. Come on, we're going quick today. Y'all aren't going quick today. I'm looking. Some of y'all were out last night. And if you're holding your head like this, I know that's not the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Now look. Here's Jesus' principles. They're standing up, they're teaching about Jesus, they're loving the people. Once again, you got to note the location. Mr. Jackson, sir, they're in the temple courts. As a student of history, you know that the temple courts are where everybody is. They don't go to the inner temple. Now, I got a lot of my colleagues, they like to be inter-temple preachers. They don't want to deal with the crowd outside. That's too messy. They want to get with the holy folks, the holy people. Here's all I found out. There are no holy people. I found out there's people who lie, and then there's people who are honest. That's really the two types of people you got in the world. What about you guys? What do y'all found out? And all these people I found that would acted so holy, and have y'all ever been through this? I mean, I used to just feel like I felt awful. I'd get around these preachers and they'd tell me they'd never said a cuss word. And I thought, oh God, how can you use me, Lord? How can you use me? Because I'd already said five coming into the preacher's meeting. I mean, I'm just being honest with y'all. I was bewildered. I was bewildered. And these guys would go, I've never smoked a cigarette. I think, oh God, there's no way you can use me, because not only had I smoked a cigarette, I liked them. You know, these people say the first time they took a puff on a cigarette was awful. I never said that. I went, I like this. For some reason, the devil fit with me. Didn't y'all have that problem? The stuff he led me to, I felt like worked. I mean, I remember like yesterday, Cool menthol cigarette. Now, I'm old. Back in the old days, they advertised cigarette commercials. Cool menthols. Any of y'all remember Cool menthols? Yeah. I'm a kid. I got me a Cool menthol. So I wanted to be. Gene Burke, I know you did this too. So don't even be looking at me cross-eyed because I know you did the same thing. Because you like to be cool. I got me that cool, you know. I found me one of them lighters, one of them cool ones you put the, you know, lighter fluid in the bottle. Zip code. Man, that did not taste like it did on TV. Because I started coughing. But I wanted to be cool. Now, was I standing in the ways of the Lord or was I trying to please myself? Come on, we got a battle here. We got a battle every day here. You want to grow up spiritually? Then guess what, Kevin? We got to engage the battle. And there's always going to be a battle. There's always going to be a tension between what I want and what God has said. And so every day we got to decide, Lord, I'm either going to pick up your ways or I'm going to follow my ways. Come on, is that not true? Is that not the everyday life? I'm either going to do it like you, Lord, or I'm going to do it like me. The apostles said, Jesus, we're going to go on to the temple courts no matter what they say. Now, listen, I'm asking y'all to pick it up a little bit. I'm asking you to tell them even when they don't like it. Are you willing to do that? You say, well, Pastor Steve, there are going to be some people that don't like me. Listen, I want to tell you the truth. There's already a lot of people that don't like you. Just go ahead and get a few more. Sheriff, not everybody loves you in this town. You find that out once every 4 years, don't you? Yeah, there you go. Now, after you get elected, you notice how everybody's your friend again? Yeah. Listen, if you want to make a difference, somebody's not going to like you. Don't get all wadded up about it. Well, Lord, somebody don't like me. I remember Clancy, when she's in the first grade, Clancy came in, we was in the truck, and we was riding down the road, and she said, Daddy, there's some people in my room that don't like me. I said, oh, Clancy, you a female, you're going to have a lot of people that don't like you, especially other females. It just gets worse and worse as you grow. Because I said, you are doomed as a female. I said, you're smart. That's bad as a female. But be that. I said, you're pretty like your mama. You, the good Lord saw fit to give you your mama's genes and not your daddy's genes. What if you look like your daddy as a female? Now you have something to be depressed about. I said, but you're good looking. So I said, automatically, other women do not like good looking women. Have y'all noticed that? Women mean to each other. I'm telling y'all mean to each other. And it never stopped. It ain't just in junior high. It's at the senior citizens' home. You know, some woman come out with some blue suede house shoes on like this. You know, she walking out there at the home down the hallway. And another woman going, that girl shouldn't be wearing those. She thinks she's all sexy in those. See, here's the truth. By the time we all get to the home, ain't none of us sexy. Everything is an illusion there. It's a great way to live. I asked Clacy the other day. I said, Clacy, when I get old, I think I'm going to live at your house. She goes, you better think again. She said, Daddy, we're putting you in the home. She said, why? She said, you'll be happy there. She said, what we're going to do is we're just going to put you in there and tell you you're at the lake. And she said, we'll kind of fix your room up like a houseboat, put you a little life ring out by the door. And she said, you'll have a big time. You'll just go up and down the hallway and you'll just think you're visiting boats like you do now. And then they'll tell you, come on, it's lunchtime and you can eat on your deck. And then you'll have supper and you'll never know where you are. I said, she's probably right. Then I looked at Blake. I said, Blake, what about you? He said, don't even try, Dad. You know, I'm praying that. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Happens. Life. Quick. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. When I was a little kid, there used to be an old song we don't sing anymore. It's probably offensive and politically incorrect for the kingdom of God today. Y'all remember this? How many of y'all remember this one? Onward, Christian. You know how I remember that song? Vacation Bible School. I acted up a little bit in Vacation Bible School. And so down at First Baptist Church, I always carried a flag. I mean, I've been carrying a Christian flag since I was 5 years old because they gave me the flag because they knew if I had an oversized flag and had to hold it with two hands, I couldn't cause any more trouble. So they gave me this flag. You know, we're walking the flag now. Onward, Christian soldiers. And you had to stop like this. They didn't know you could do this. Marching as to war. Okay? And so, man, I carried a Christian flag. I carried a Christian flag. Because guess what? And then there was a line in this. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. I just want to tell you, we've absolutely lost that metaphor. And I want to go over it today. Stand up. The apostles stood up. Guess what? They threw them in jail. God got them out. They went and told his story, no matter what anybody else said. When they heard this, they were furious. Verse 33, they wanted to put them to death. I'm going to tell you, if you keep on talking about life, somebody's going to want to kill it. I don't want to stay on this too long today, but I want to stay on it long enough. Don't let people kill your life. Don't let them have your life, especially the one Jesus has given you. How many of y'all realize God wants you to do great and wonderful things? God's got wonderful things in store for you. And I want to tell you something, church. We're going to fight for this next generation. I want to tell you what I've come to believe, and God has shown me over a period of years. There are young people in this place that are going to make global differences, and we as adults aren't here to tell them what to do. We're here to stand up with them so God can do with them what he wants them to do. Here's what I already know. My generation doesn't know how to stand up. And some of you older people, before you get too prideful, you're still here, so apparently yours doesn't either. Or we wouldn't be in this mess. You see, here's what I like. I like to argue evidence versus theory. Politicians love theory. They like to talk about what's going to happen in 20 years. You know why? Because they don't know, I don't know, and they can speculate. I like to talk reality.
Here's reality. We violated God's principles, and let's just go ahead and let's all indict ourselves. Very few of us are willing to stand up for what he says. What do you think?
Yeah.
God says it's a good idea to stay married. We threw that one out since the 60s. And then we have our sociologists going, you know, they did a study at Harvard, spent like, I mean, it was tons of millions of dollars. They've determined this. Children fare better that have their original mother and father.
Wow. Jeepers. Gee, Scooby. What a revelation.
Absolutely, Shag.
Millions of dollars. I'd have told them that for 1.2.
You know what they did? Harvard didn't know this, but Harvard studied God's principles and found out and verified and gave validity to what? God's principles. Stand up. These guys are going to stand up no matter what. No matter what happens, they're going to keep standing. Well, guess what? They get so mad, the Sanhedrin gets so mad, the religious leaders get so mad, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But, now what did I tell you? If you take a stand, continue to stand, somebody else will what? Stand up with you. But you got to continue what? Standing. How many of y'all have ever been there? I don't know if this is going to work or not. And you get right to the brink of this is not going to work or not. And somebody comes in and stands with you and it works. You know what some of us do? We give up one day before it's going to happen. Don't ever do that. Never give up. I just want you all to know that you're sitting in a church today that all the religious experts 21 summers ago said this church could never happen. And guess what? About 6 months into it, I took a stand. 6 months into it, I'm continuing to stand. About 6 months into it, I was kind of leaning going, they might be right. That was their voice, but then I heard another voice. It said, are you going to listen to them or are you going to listen to me? I looked at their haircuts and knew that God had a better design. That God would work the impossible. How many of y'all still believe God works the impossible? Well, he does. Look at here. He's going to work the impossible. The religious leaders are mad. They are furious. They're going to put these guys to death. Haven't they learned yet that when you put Jesus to death, he won't stay dead? How many times they got to do this? Jesus is like a Frogger at the fair. Y'all ever seen Frogger? You probably like this game, Bellinger. You know, you take that big mallet and there's little frogs that pop out and you hit this one frog and then another one pops out another hole. Jesus is just like that. You try to hammer him down, he'll get back up. Anybody glad to follow a God like that? We got a God that will not stay down. So neither should his people. Look at here. They stand up. And finally, the Pharisees, they're going to put them to death. How many of y'all have lived out Jesus so fervently somebody wanted to kill you? None of you. Because we don't follow Jesus to proclaim him. We follow Jesus so we might feel better. There have been books sold and pastors have made millions of dollars selling this lie. Follow Jesus and you'll have a better life. Really? Really? Tell the Apostle Paul that as he got shipwrecked, snake bitten, put in prison, and the hell beat out of him. I wonder if that was his best life now. See, those books will only sell in America because America is the only country so consumed with themselves that people will buy it. You notice how TV ministry doesn't work well everywhere else? They don't have any money to give. The stuff don't work. And see, this ought to know too. Stuff that only works in one place isn't of God. Because God's stuff works in all places. The same Jesus that touches you touches the people in Africa. Pretty neat, isn't it? Be careful. They've always been out there. People that want to short you so that you don't see everything Jesus has. Jesus gets you up out of death, man. It ain't about being comfortable. It's about being a follower of Christ. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, he teacher of the law who was honored by all the people. Now note this, not only was this guy credentialed, he was what? Honored by the people. He stood up and he had some common sense. I'm not going to go on a tangent about this. I could. What would happen today if we decided to inject some common sense into our problems? Gee, Beav, I think it'd make a difference. I have to ration myself on the TV. Every time I listen to the discussions by these pseudo leaders that we have today, I want a kung fu fight. Have some common sense. How many of y'all get mad when people think you're stupid? It makes me mad. I mean, when people think they can look at me and say, listen, you can spend more money than you make and you're not going to have any trouble. When somebody tells me that, I'm not a real smart guy and I am from Kentucky. I mean, I'm Kentucky born, bred, the whole bit. I'll die here. But guess what? I know if you give out more than you take in, there's going to be a problem. How many of y'all know that? It's just common sense. Four of you know that. Well, I'm looking at the problem. Four of them are saying, well, I know that. Rest of you going, that ain't right. It's not right. It's got a problem. Use some common sense. Gamaliel has some common sense. He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. He said, he's addressing these leaders and these lawyers. Really what they are, Sanhedrin. Watch this. Let me show you how bad Sanhedrin is. You see what you think. The Sanhedrin are preachers with a law degree. So they're a lawyer and a preacher combined. Now there's a hybrid you never want to happen. Yeah, Pastor Beth Ann, there's the prime example. No, I'm just kidding. Beth Ann does have a law degree and a seminary degree, but she was not born into the Sanhedrin. You kind of got to be born into this thing. Well, they are mad. They're going to put these boys to death. They said, quit talking about Jesus. Because what's that? We're going to talk about Jesus. Pretty cool, isn't it? We're going to talk about Jesus. He said, we're going to kill you. Gamaliel stands up and says, no. He said, remember Theudas. He had a group follow him. And what happened to him? Look at the scripture there. He said he had a crowd follow him and they killed him and their group dispersed. And then he said, let's remember old Judas. Remember Judas? He was a rebel raiser. He got a crowd to follow him. And what happened to them? They killed him and his followers were dispersed and it all came to nothing. And then he said, I'll tell you what. I want you to go to verse 38. Look what it says. It's amazing here. Go to verse 38. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone and let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of a human origin, it will what? How many of y'all believe that?
Yes.
Any of y'all here, just encourage me. Have any of y'all ever read history? Anybody here ever read history? Six of you. It's hard to vote with any intelligence if you haven't read history. Nations collapse when they submit to ideas of human origin. You and I live in a climate today where who leads our nation spiritually? Humanist. And what do they call it? We're a humanistic, secular culture. So here's what that really means. We've decided to tell God that his plan won't work and we're going to develop our own. And we've really been doing it for quite some time. And now what's happening? Our plan's what? And you all know that. How many of y'all have ever done it your own way? How did your way go? Come on, just wake up. Use common sense. You decide to say, I tell you what, God, I'm not going to believe what you told me. I'm going to go do it my own way. What happened? Come on, talk to me. I love it when y'all talk and act like a church and not a stair place. Huh? It failed. It bad. I don't know about y'all. When I don't do what God tells me to do as a husband, Elizabeth and I don't have a good relationship. When I don't pray with her like I'm supposed to and I don't do that real good, guess what? That we feel that in our relationship. If I don't honor Clacy as her father and respect her as her father and listen to her as her father, we have a bad relationship. These are the principles of God. This is not hard. Clacy, if you marry a bum, that will be a bad marriage and you will cause bodily harm to another human being. And it'll be your fault. I'm telling God it's her fault. I told her, Lord. And if you're offended that I said bum, that's because you are a bum. So repent and get over it. Here's what bum males are. They don't go to work. They don't have a job. They've been to school, and more school, and expect me to pay for their food. This is crazy. And somebody needs to say it. It is not appropriate. It's not what God's designed. It's not what God desires. And it's not what God created you for. You got to stand up sometime. So I'm going to give you a new truth. Nobody owes you anything for being born. In fact, guess what you deserve? Hell. So if you're really going to demand what you deserve, guess what God should give you? Hell. I'm going to let you rest. That's a whole new revelation. I know. Come on. That's getting through everything. Yeah. Because we're sinners in need of what? Grace. I don't want to demand what I deserve. I want to receive what God can give. You know why these apostles are standing up? Because they're not working on their power. They're working in his. And they stood and they continued to stand. And then guess what? Gamaliel stands up. He says, calm down, boys. Remember Judas. Remember these. They all fell apart. He said, if this thing's of human origin, guess what it's going to do? It's going to collapse. I'm going to be honest. Everything I've done on my own has collapsed and ended in failure. Everything here at church that we didn't listen to God on, guess what? Failed. Earl, I thought I was trying to have a good heart. And we had some young Christians here, and I made one of those young Christians a deacon, and he was an absolute disaster. You know why he was an absolute disaster? Had nothing to do with him. Pastor Steve violated a principle from God that said, don't lay hands on too hastily. Well, guess what I did? I was young. I was dumb. I laid hands on too hastily, and guess what I invited into our deacon body? Hell. How many of y'all found this out? If you don't have an affair, you don't have to be paranoid. Please don't look at me like that's shocking news. Come on, please look like, just hey, go ahead and humor me like you know that. Guess what? I can hand Elizabeth my phone. Elizabeth, don't you look at my phone all the time. I mean, you don't snoop or nothing, but I say, here, look, I have to do this all the time. Elizabeth, I don't know how to punch in so-and-so's number. Can you do that? Can you do this? Can you do that? You know what? Elizabeth can look at my cell phone. Why? I don't have anything to hide. I mean, she'll see boat supply shops on here. And Clacy, I can look at your phone. That's a different story. And Clacy may end up, if she thinks she's going to be a doctor, she may end up being a lawyer because she goes, Dad, that's a violation of privacy. I said, let me help you. As long as I pay the bills, there is no privacy. See, Clacy thought she's living in a democracy. Not yet. No, come on, hold on. I'm going to show you some. I want to break it down to where we live. Y'all like these preachers that like talking theory. I like to talk on the street. My phone doesn't bother me because this phone's what? There you go. Now, let me show you on the other side. I didn't like it when Elizabeth could see the Visa card. How many of you, I see if anybody is this not wise like your pastor. I have a tendency, I like sometimes to go to like an outdoor store. And they supply certain ammunition items there. And I like those. And if I get to bring one home, I'm always asked, how much did that cost? Never tell the truth. No, I never do. I don't know why I don't. I mean, look at it. Let me go. What did that cost? Well, it was around $200. 200 plus 200. I mean, $400 is around $200. That's not a lie. It's around, but it's a little off. Now, I don't know why I do this, but I've done it for watch this. All you know is you got 3 weeks before what's going to happen. Huh? I mean, Elizabeth keeps up all the details and she goes, I thought you said that's around $200. I said, it is around that. Well, you see, I can get mad, but why do we, any of y'all men ever done that? How many of you women have ever bought a dress and you never talked? What, now here's what happened. Now I'm going to flip it. Hold on, you know where I'm going to flip it. This started with Clacy when she's a child. She's a daggum child. She's 6 years old. She walks into the house. She's been out with a mama to a sale. In fact, I figured this out. If you want to have a good marriage, your wife wants to be happy, just put for sale signs in your house somewhere. Now, they'll be happy. Clacy comes in. She doesn't tell me about the price. Daddy, I have saved you $35. And I thought, oh, Lord, your mama been saving me money all my life. That's the way you women do it. You go, this dress was $1,500. And now it's only $1,200. I've saved $300. I said, but you bought a dress. Elizabeth never bought a dress like it. I'm just using an example. I mean, how much can a dress cost? Here's what always gets me. Why do women's shoes cost so much? I mean, you got a big heel on them, and you got two straps, and that costs... I mean, I can get a pair of Red Wing boots come up to here, full leather, baby, double cowl with steel on the toes. Now, those shoes will do some walking. And cost half of what this little Cinderella shoe looks like. What's up with that? What's up with that? We buy into principles of our own origin. Gamaliel said, our principles will not last, but God's will. Look what he says. But if it's from God, nobody can stop it. How many of y'all glad to know? Look at that verse. Verse 40. Look at what he says. If it's from God, what can happen? Nobody can stop it. Then they called them in, and guess what they did? They flogged them. They went ahead and punished them. Guess what they did? They said, I'm going to tell you what. We're so excited. We get to go out because the Lord has found us worthy that we've suffered. How many of y'all get excited when somebody despises you because you love him? You know what the Bible says? We ought to be excited about that. How many of y'all have enough of Jesus in you that it bothers somebody else? Let me tell you what. If an atheist really enjoys your company, you need to take note of that. If you walk into places of the world that are absolutely just a part of things that God's not a part of, and you feel totally comfortable and at ease, you ought to take note of that. Because guess what's probably happening? You haven't received him. Now, Jesus will go to those places, but he's always there to redeem it, not to participate in it. Isn't that interesting? He goes to redeem. He goes to heal. He goes to change. These guys are crazy. They're excited that they've suffered for the Lord. Wonder how that book would sell down there at the Christian bookstore. Suffering for Jesus. I've never been to a suffering conference. Have you? I mean, you know, you guys have seen all these conferences since 1980. Never been to a suffering conference. But there's more about suffering than there is about praising. There's more about following than there is about singing. There's more about standing than there is about swaying. Some Christians think it's a big deal that God knocks them down. I think we've been knocked down long enough. I'd like to see some of us stand up. I think that'd be a great revival. We hadn't had a stand-up moment yet. How many of y'all need to just stand up? I found if you stand up, you continue to stand. Before too long, somebody else will stand with you. And then guess what? You'll look around. Guess what will happen? There's somebody else. And there's somebody else. Young people. Sometimes if you will be the one that says, we're not going to do that. Guess what? Somebody else will go, I'm not either. And somebody else will go, I'm not either. Every group you run around, you need to have at least one person in the group with common sense. At least what? One. Well, y'all been beautiful today. Guess what? If it's from God, you're not going to stop it. It'll never be stopped. It'll never be stopped. I'm going to tell you, nobody can wipe the church out. They've all tried. Let me show you what they said. Day after day in the temple courts, verse 42, and from house to house, guess what? They never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the what? Or Messiah. The Christ. The Lord. Dr. Earl, guess what? I have people get on me and say, Pastor Steve, all you preach about is telling people to tell people about Jesus. What is the Bible full of? You know, Joe, what did it just say? Harold, what did it just say? Did it say, and they went about organizing prayer meetings throughout the city. They went about organizing Christian schools through the city. They went about they went about the message. And guess what? God uses 1,000 things to get what? The message out. We need everything to get the message out. Now, what's fixing to happen? School's starting. Tim, we're praying for you. What's starting, buddy? School. I hate it, but it comes back every year about this time. City schools are starting. County schools are starting. Our Christian schools are starting. What are we fixing to go back to? That was very weak. What are we going back to? Listen, y'all ought to be excited about not being dumb anymore. Just tell your neighbor, it's not fun to be dumb. Go ahead and tell them. Come on, tell them. It's not fun to be dumb. I know I'm supposed to say uninformed. See, I know how to be politically correct. It's just not fun. I mean, let's think about it. Let's be honest about it. I got to tell y'all what Scripture tells you. Would y'all please go share the good news? Now listen, I did this at 8 o'clock. I'm going to wrap it up here. Anybody still got the card you received in January that you're supposed to have your friend's name on that you've been praying for over 6 months because you are going to tell them about Jesus? Anybody got that card with them? Do I have one of those cards in this room? Oh, Don's is in the truck. Oh, nice. Yeah, you were always the kid. Your dog ate the home run. It's right there, Don. Yeah. Thank you, Don. Anybody else got one of these? Good, we got 3 or 4 of them here. Mm-hmm. Watch this. Over 3,000 were given out. Now, hold on. I'm not fussing. Just let the Holy Spirit convict. I'm not here to convict. Until you and I see carrying the message of Jesus as important, there will be no change. Your pastor tells preachers this all over the nation. Satan has derailed the preachers. Here's the problem with the ministers of today. They chase rabbits. They chase accessories and not engines and transmissions. Because they all want to write a book. The last thing we need is another book in the kingdom of God. The problem is we haven't read the one God has written. We like our versions better. So Pastor Steve, you can't say something like it. I wrote a book. Whoop-a-dee-doo. Whoop-a-dee-doo. I wrote a book that said we ought to read the book. We ought to fall in love with Jesus Christ. We ought to stay focused in Christ. You need a name on this card. December's coming. That wraps up another year. I want you to think about somebody that needs to hear this good news, and I want you to just be committed to telling them. Listen, I don't want you to preach. I don't want you to get in their face. I just want you to tell them about what? Why? I just don't think it's a good idea for people to go to hell. What do you think? What do you guys think? Now, I know some of you are going, well, Pastor Steve, I don't believe. I believe whatever God you got is going to be all right. Well, you just keep believing that, because let me tell you what happens. You heard about that today in the Word of God. Plans designed by humans fail. And the day of judgment is not the time to find out you were wrong. And don't any of y'all look over at me. You look over at me at the day of judgment, I'm going to ask the Lord if I can smack a fire out of you. I'm serious. Because I'm going to say, Lord, I didn't know much, but I knew this. You died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. Your message is true. Your Bible is true. And your people need to be saved. And I told them that every Sunday. And I told them you were the only way. And I told them they needed to be baptized. But they wanted to go about and believe junk like this. Well, as long as everybody has their own personal God and it relates to them in their own personal way, who's thinking that up? Hello? Who's thinking that up? Besides Oprah, who's thinking that up? Hold on. I know y'all get mad when I pick on Oprah. You know why I pick on Oprah? Because over 7 million people listen to her, and she tells them stuff that is absolutely anti-Bible. And you know why y'all all buy into Oprah? She's nice. She's sweet. She's attractive. And she's got a lot of money. But guess what Oprah's going to do? Die. And 3 days later, guess where Oprah's going to be? Dead. You put Pastor Steve in the grave. 3 days later, guess where I'm going to be? Dead. You put Jesus in death. 3 days later, where's he end up? Walking around. You put his followers in jail. They get out, Sheriff. Guess what that means, Sheriff? If I stay faithful to God, you can handcuff me, but you can't keep me. Mm-hmm. You and Jackie Strode, I say, now your boys better get back. Fixing to release the Holy Ghost in this jail. Well, you're serious. What y'all laugh like? They'd never lock you up. No, hold on. They probably wouldn't, but let me tell you. There are people who have been locked up for this message. It happens every day in other countries. And guess what a lot of you are believing in this room? That could never what? Let me tell you what messes people up. How many of y'all have ever said never and it did? How many of y'all got real cocky one time and said, well, I'd never do that. And what happened? I remember all these holy people back in the late 70s, early 80s. They'd go, well, I'll tell you what, none of my children will ever be divorced. And then guess what happened? All of them did, and they changed their mind. It's amazing to me, these preachers that were so hard on other people that went through some life trauma. And then when it happened to them, they changed their mind. Now, see, here's the problem. They were wrong in the first place. God's a God of grace. Sin does enough punishment without us adding to it. And we ought to be messengers of grace that will stand in God's grace and tell God's truth and stay in his way. Well, since we're talking about standing, guess what? Why don't y'all stand up? That's a good first step. Good first step. Guess what? Okay, now take a big breath. Let's go. Let's go. Y'all been great today. Y'all going to school this week. Next week, everybody's going to school. That should excite you. You know why I'm excited about it? I don't have to go. Until August. Here we go. You ready? There's some people here that need to receive Jesus Christ. Oh, what a glorious day. Now I want you believers to begin to pray. I want you to begin to pray right now. Lord, whoever's here today that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, may they listen to Jesus right now, very clearly. Bob, I want you to pray that no dark spirits have any room to move right now. Pray that.
Amen.
And let's listen. There's some people here that need to receive Christ. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, here's what Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to realize you've sinned. So you say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I know I have sinned. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. Ask him and see what's happening right now. Lord, come into me. And what's he going to do? He's going to come into you. Now, if you need, you know that you've received Christ. We've had three beautiful women today testify through baptism that they've been buried and risen. They're not who they used to be. Now, some of you today need to put down where you've been so Jesus can take you to where you really want to go. Where you really want to what? Go. Tell him, Lord Jesus, today I know I need you. I repent of my sin. I am sorry beyond belief, Lord. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. Guys in the balcony, may that balcony never be a deterrent. Right down those steps, right to that front aisle. Lord Jesus, come into my life. If you've never been baptized, come and receive him in baptism. Maybe you need to pray, Lord, I need to share the message. I keep hearing it over and over and over in worship, but I need to share the message. So we need to let Jesus have his way. Okay? Pray with me, Lord. There are people here today that need to be baptized. May you bring them forward in this altar. Lord, I lift up my brother Terry. In the name of Jesus, we're just going to connect healing right now. We're just going to connect that you continue to support his family and love his family that we prayed over last week. They'll continue to be healing. Lord, I pray right now for folks that have never been baptized that they would just be convinced by your Holy Spirit that's important to get done. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here. Nobody here by accident. Nobody here by accident. So, Lord, bring forward what needs to be brought forward in your name. And, Lord, may nobody leave here disconnected from Christ. Nobody. Nobody. So, in the name of Jesus, this altar's open. Jack, I don't know if I get to open it up next week. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know if we're going to make it to next service. But you know what I know? Right now, anybody in this room can be saved. Does that not blow you away? Anybody in this room can be saved right now in the name of Jesus. So don't move past this opportunity. So Pastor Dave, maybe next week. You have no guarantee of a next week. You have what?
Today only.
Today only. This is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in what?
It.
So Lord, thank you for opening us up. Thank you for saving people. Thank you for drawing people. So if you need to come now, we as pastors would love to just hear from you, especially if you need to be baptized. We want to line it up. Man, God's doing a work here. God's saving people. We've already had several people come to Christ this morning at 8 o'clock service, and there'll be several more right now in the name of Jesus. So I invite you to come and receive his grace, be healed by his mercy. This altar is open. Come on, church, in the name of Jesus, let us worship.